The Atlantic article says that America is a republic, not a democracy, is a dangerous and wrong argument. This assertion would come as some shock to Ben Franklin, who said that America is a republic, if we can keep it, or to the hundreds of millions of Americans who pledged allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. As we already know, according to Plato and Aristotle, democracies are a decayed, corrupt form of republics. Yet Democrats keep promoting democracy as if it's some good thing, which is why they're committed to turning America into, if not a banana republic, a banana democracy. In a previous presentation, we talked about a white paper from the Fed entitled Measuring Geopolitical Risk by two Italian economists, Dario Caldara and Matteo Iacoviello. They write, "We present a monthly indicator of geopolitical risk based on a tally of newspaper articles covering geopolitical tensions and examine its evolution and effects since 1985. The Geopolitical Risk Index spikes around the Gulf War, after 9/11, during the 2003 Iraq invasion, during the 2014 Russia-Ukraine crisis, and after the Paris terrorist attacks. High geopolitical risk leads to a decline in real activity, lower stock returns, and movements in capital flows away from emerging economies and towards advanced economies." This last sentence bears repeating. Geopolitical risk leads to movement in capital flows away from emerging economies and towards advanced economies. What this means is, if you're a rich guy in Pakistan and a civil war breaks out, then you're going to want to move your money out of the country. So the tendency is to transfer it away from your original nation to a safe haven in the West, to a bank in Switzerland or Germany or the United States. This will be true of instability of various forms, from uprisings in Egypt to calamities in Colombia to insurgencies in Indonesia. All the wealthy people shift their assets from the developing world to the first world. So global instability is beneficial to a Western economic system that's currently hemorrhaging. The more instability that can be induced abroad, the more cash that flows into Western coffers. This, of course, creates a perverse incentive for Western intelligence agencies to induce instability in other parts of the world, which brings us to a RAND Corporation document that says just that. For those who don't know, the RAND Corporation is a think tank that provides intelligence to the US government. They're like a private sector CIA. In the document, they say, "The present state of the US economy does not suggest that it can function without financial and material support from external sources. The quantitative easing policy, which the Fed has resorted to regularly in recent years, as well as the uncontrolled issue of cash during the 2020 and 2021 COVID lockdowns, have led to a sharp increase in the external debt and an increase in the dollar supply. The continuing deterioration of the economic situation is highly likely to lead to a loss in the position of the Democratic Party in Congress and the Senate in the forthcoming elections to be held in November 2022. The impeachment of the president cannot be ruled out under these circumstances, which must be avoided at all costs." Basically, what they're going to do is implode Europe to create instability and get $9 trillion in capital flows to leave the continent and to come to America to patch our mismanaged economic system. And what they're saying is that they're picking on Europe because since World War II, they've been declawed and can't fight back. And this is all due to our failure to fix the banking system after the 2008 subprime mortgage collapse. Any competent administration would have enacted reforms to tamp down on corruption. Instead, we allowed corruption to go on steroids. Now the system is buckling. But to help the insolvent banks, we're going to destabilize Europe and knock it over, like gangsters casing a business that they're going to rob. There is an urgent need for resources to flow into the national economy, especially the banking system. Only European countries bound by EU and NATO commitments will be able to provide them without significant military and political costs for us. The major obstacle to it is growing independence of Germany. Although it is still a country with limited sovereignty, for decades it has been consistently moving toward lifting these limitations and becoming a fully independent state. This movement is slow and cautious, but steady. Extrapolation shows that the ultimate goal can be reached only in several decades. However, if social and economic problems in the United States escalate, the pace could accelerate significantly. A reduction in Russian energy supplies, ideally a complete halt of such supplies, would lead to disastrous outcomes for German industry. The need to divert significant amounts of Russian gas for winter heating of residential and public facilities will further exacerbate the shortages. Lockdowns in industrial enterprises will cause shortages of components and spare parts for manufacturing, a breakdown of logistic chains, and eventually, a domino effect. A complete standstill at the largest in the chemical, metallurgical, and machine building plants is likely, while they have virtually no spare capacity to reduce energy consumption. It could lead to the shutting down of continuous cycle enterprises, which would mean their destruction. In summation, the United States fomented tensions between Russia and the Ukraine to sabotage Germany, hence the EU. Germany previously said that they'd continue to receive Russian oil and would only stop in case of war, and right on cue, the US triggered a war in the Ukraine so that those pipelines would be cut off. The United States is also agitating for Europe to cut down on farms via so-called green initiatives to restrict food supplies. Sprinkle in millions of new migrants, and voila, you have yourself enough social instability to cause collapse and sweet, sweet capital flows into the United States banking system, a $9 trillion payday. This is happening because while the Fed had enough money to bail out the people in 2008, it does not have enough money to bail out the system now. The Fed only has about $2 trillion in assets, whereas the collapse of Europe will net them an estimated $9 trillion. At any rate, if you want to know why wars happen, look to the banking crises that happened before them. The Panic of 1907 led to World War I. The stock market crash of 1929 led to World War II. Now we're on the cusp of a banking implosion that dwarfs anything that came before it. Two guesses what happens next. If you've gotten this far, you most likely like our content. If you haven't already, head to thenewamerican.com and subscribe to our print magazine, published twice a month in print and daily online. It's the essential news source for freedom-loving Americans.